intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Welcome to the brightest audience in the country. I'm Fred Williams, host of Real Science Radio. Last week, we left the audience lurching in the dark on a protein that is apparently in the shape of a cross called laminin. I'd like to welcome back our crack research expert and host from the Weekly Worldview, Doug McBurney.
Hey, good to be back, Fred. Thank you so much. Hey, real quick, a protein. Let's start real quick with a protein, because Fred, here at Real Science Radio, you're the expert, and you know what a protein is, because you've talked about proteins approximately 1,000,006 times.
My count was 1,228,000, so you shorted me some.
But just in case there are people in the audience who maybe you're not 100% familiar with a protein, and we don't want you ever to just go along and pretend like you know what's going on because you're embarrassed not to ask. It's always better to stop and ask and make sure you know what's going on. A protein is any class of nitrogenous organic compounds that consist of large molecules composed of one or more long chains of amino acids. An amino acid is an organic compound characterized by having a carboxyl group, an amino group, and a side chain attached to a central carbon atom. And kiddos, amino acids are used as precursors for other molecules in the body. Linking amino acids together forms polypeptides, and that forms proteins. And these are the basic building block structures of life, of which laminin is one of them. And so, Fred, I just wanted to open up because so often I did this as I used to listen to you and Bob on Real Science Radio. Quite often, I would not understand certain words, and then later on, I would have to go look them up.
Yeah, well, that's a really good description of proteins and amino acids. And amino acids are like letters. There's 20 of them. And you can use these combination of these 20 amino acids to do what you said, you know, to make a protein. So again, it's like computer language. It's really impressive how God has this language that there's no way evolution could ever in their wildest dreams explain. How do you evolve a language, a sophisticated language that is a basis for all of biology? But Doug, before we get to laminin, there's a news flash, and I wanted to check with you. So how's your sleep been lately?
My sleep? You know what? As I get older, it's not as good as it used to be, Fred.
You know, that's true for me too. As I get older, it seems I sleep less. But as it turns out, Doug, there's that dastardly evil thing going on with our planet, and it's going to cause you to lose even more sleep.
Oh,
recent
great
news, and this was reported by Science Daily, says, and I quote, "Climate change likely to reduce the amount of sleep that people get per year."
Oh, that's just what we need.
Yeah. Well, you know, by 2099, they say the planet is on average going to be, you know, 2 to 6 degrees warmer. So, you know, yeah, maybe we'll lose a little bit more sleep, because I admit I personally sleep a little better when the temperatures are cool. But, you know, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical that a handful of degrees warmer is somehow catastrophic to our planet. So, I mean, it's amazing where they go with this stuff. There's so many things that global warming causes. It causes acne, too, by the way. We need to have a list show on the number of, you know, all the things that global warming allegedly causes.
Great, a lack of sleep. Okay, that's just what we need. Okay, so is there anything that global warming doesn't cause that's negative?
Well, let's see that it doesn't cause that is negative. That's a good question.
I think it's been linked to pretty much everything that we're supposed to feel guilty about.
Yeah, and it could never be any good. You know, having something slightly warmer, I mean, I guess you could maybe ask people in Alaska. You know, we've got you know, our old producer Russ is up there.
That's right. I wonder if he would like to,
you know, he might be willing to pay money to get a couple extra degrees up there, you know?
You know what's weird, Fred, is in my backyard, they've actually constructed a building that's called a greenhouse that's actually designed to get warmer than the ambient temperature in the backyard. It's really weird.
Yeah. And you there's a, you know, when I saw that article, I did a little bit more research, and there's a really good video at PragerU. It's by this guy, Dr. Richard Lindzen, and he's the world's leading climatologist. He taught at MIT for 30 years on climate. And he mentions that the IPCC, now this is that UN organized group. It's called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Yes, 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 yes. Very they, august board, yes. Indeed.
Yeah, I'm sure they get on, they're on NPR all the time, I'm sure. They admitted in a 2001 report that long-term prediction of future climate states is not possible.
No way.
And so when I searched for that very quote, because this Dr. Lindzen mentioned it, they've now removed that from their website. I guess that wasn't no. politically correct enough for them.
You're not allowed to admit that you don't know everything when you're on the left. That's,
yeah.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to link to his video in the show summary on the website. It's worth watching. It's only like, I think, 7 to 10 minutes long. He does a really good summary of what's going on with the whole climate change and the battle between scientists and really the politicians and the media and the left-wing nut jobs like Greenpeace, they're the one driving the narrative on this whole thing. And I found that there's one example of one of these guys who chairs this IPCC panel. His name's Otmar Edenhofer.
And he you don't get any more august than Otmar.
Yeah.
So
this is from Investors Business Daily. They reported where this guy, again, his name is Otmar Edenhofer. He admitted that we redistribute de facto the world's wealth by climate policy. Oops. They kind of caught him in their agenda of what they're up to.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's this anti-capitalism bent to, you know, really destroy capitalism is what they're after. So
yes. Yeah. Well, not just destroy capitalism, but also pile up piles of money for themselves.
The
destruction of capitalism involves taking a lot of that capital and putting it in their own bank accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Greenpeace, you know, loves this, the media just pushing this narrative, oh, this is really bad climate change, because then they get more people to donate to them. It, you know, Al Gore, who knows how much that guy's made on his book. That turns out that all the predictions in his book were wrong. But, you know, he made millions of dollars. So, you know, there's definitely an agenda here.
It's very hypocritical for him to keep all those millions of dollars when he should be donating it to climate research in order to save the planet.
That's right.
So, now, you mentioned an agenda and a language and all of that. And so that just reminds me, I want to let the audience know that you and I, Fred, we were doing independent research, getting ready for the show on laminins. And just because we're just average fellows, you know, we don't have a massive research department with grants for millions of dollars funded by the government. We don't have any of that. We have our crack research team. And by the way, if you want to support Real Science Radio, you want to keep us on the air, go to the website, click sponsor a show. Sponsor a show once a month. Sponsor a show once a week. You could sponsor Real Science Radio just by clicking at rsr.org and support the show. Keep us on the air. We don't have millions of dollars. And so Fred and I are part of the crack research team. We're the tip of the spear, so to speak. And so what we did was we went to Google and I Googled, does laminin look like a cross? And Fred, you probably Googled something similar.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And Google sent both of us to a very similar article. We ended up emailing each other a very similar article, which basically is one Christian criticizing another Christian's take on laminins and the cross. And Fred, when I got your email with this very similar article, having just sent you an email, I thought to myself, This really proves that Google's algorithms are never very friendly to Christians or creationists on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would think that an unbiased algorithm would just lead you to some articles on the shape of laminin, some discussions of whether or not it looks like a cross. But the first link is to this argument. So they're just not very friendly. But I do want to say, Fred, that when you search on Google, Big Bang Evidence, ICR gets a link on the first page about that Bicep 2 article. You remember the claim about, well, they had all this evidence for the Big Bang, but the evidence ended up, it was really just a dust on their lens or something. Yeah. Like
that. That's
right. I don't
right.
remember the details, but.
You know what I remember about that is when they first reported on it, if you looked at the social media links on that article, you had thousands of likes, you know, thousands of shares, Twitter shares, Facebook likes. Sure. And then when they refuted it, like, I don't know, a month later, it got refuted, you know, totally demolished. You go back and you look at their article about where it was demolished. You have like 7 likes, 2 shares.
Right, right. Speaking of a biased algorithm, right?
Yeah. Well, it just shows, you know, their audience is so, what they're so bent on things that are against the Bible and Christianity. It's like a religion, you know, those National Geographic, it's like Pravda from, you know, Russia's Pravda.
Yeah, yeah. That, well, the algorithms are biased, but Fred, when you search on Google evidence against the Big Bang, so both Real Science Radio and ICR both have links on page one of Google. No matter how biased their algorithm is, they end up having to give credit where credit is due when people search for evidence against the Big Bang, because Real Science Radio is the tip of the spear for evidence against the Big Bang, for the latest discussions, the latest evidence. And of course, ICR does a good job as well. So,
well, I remember Bob had said evidence against the Big Bang, that was number one for a long time for RSR. And then after the whole Trump era, Google started changing their algorithms and it got bumped down. So maybe it's made its way back up on the page one. You know, there's only so many people working at Google that can track all these keywords and keyword phrases. So hopefully this one survives as long as possible so that people actually can read the truth. And, you know, speaking of a bias, if you do a search for evidence against global warming or evidence against climate change, the whole first page, and I think even the second page, most of what you're going to find is articles against, you know, the people who are climate deniers. And it'll be scopes saying, oh, this is a hoax, that there's evidence against climate change. They have all the articles that still support them, even though you actually explicitly ask for evidence against global warming, but they won't show it to you.
Well, you're not allowed to have that, or you're not even allowed to ask, right? That's like, I don't know what to describe it to. So that would be like jumping up and down and screaming in the middle of church. You're just not allowed to do that. Stop that, Fred. You're not even allowed to ask about such a thing. It's heresy. He's a heretic. Burn him.
Yeah.
But Fred, we got to get to laminin.
Yeah.
Because
we got this preacher guy, this, Louis Giglio.
Louis Giglio and Keith Giles. We mentioned them last week. Google directed us to this argument, I guess, this piece by Keith Giles. And there's similar pieces out there. Basically, they're saying that Louis Giglio and other Christians are basically misrepresenting the shape of laminin. They're basically saying, look, Louis says it looks like a cross, but it doesn't really look like a cross, and that maybe we shouldn't be pointing to it in a sermon, or should we really be saying that it represents anything about Jesus or the gospel in general? There's just all these articles out there. And so I want to get to this article. It's called The Great Laminin Hoax. I got it off of Pathos. Now, are you familiar with Pathos, Fred?
I am somewhat. I mean, I've come across it, but I'm not familiar with, like, you know, their actual beliefs and whatnot.
Well, that's where I am. I'm not that familiar with it, but it seems like every time I come across Pathos, the article is from a liberal Christian bent. That's just my, that just seems to be to me.
Well, it's interesting. I just pulled up this article from this Keith Giles, and you know what the subtitle is? Or the tag. It's a tag that they put on a website.
What's the tag?
Progressive Christian.
Okay. So, all right. Okay. And we all know what progressive means. Okay. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean progress. Anyway, so I don't want to slam Patheos. I just know that I've come across it dozens of times in the past, I don't know, few years, and it just always seems somewhat liberal. So anyway, the article is by Keith Giles, and this is from 2012. This goes back a ways, but this is still one of the top non-sponsored links, one of the top organic links at Google when you search laminin and the cross. And Keith Giles, which I pointed out, this guy seems like the real deal. He was a pastor, maybe even kind of a mega pastor-ish type, but he stepped away from it. He resigned. He started a house church. And last I checked, he still has a house church, very small, and you know, probably a great guy. I would enjoy having a cup of hot cocoa with him and talking about stuff. He says there's very popular video going around from Christian speaker Louis Giglio regarding the cross-like shape of the laminin molecule and how it's supposedly pointing to how Jesus is the one who holds all things together. And then the article references Colossians 1:17.
Yeah, Colossians 1:17, and that says...
Wait, Fred, wait. Oh, warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Real Science Radio that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Fred, please start again.
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Amen. Amen. And so the article quotes Colossians 1:17. Should we be saying that this, should we be referencing this with laminin? Is this all true? And then the article goes on, the article from Patheos, Pastor Giles says laminin is not cross-shaped, not even close. That's a direct quote. And then he goes on to describe laminin as an adhesion molecule. We'll get to that later. So he gives the scientific description of laminin, and then he says that part is true. It is an adhesion molecule. No problem there. The problem comes, says Keith Giles, when people like Louis Giglio, who is the originator of this growing myth, shows everyone a diagram of laminin that looks like a cross. And then he puts the technical diagram up, and it looks just like a cross, because when you diagram things this way in science, this is how you do it. And it does look like a cross. Then Giles goes on and he says, wow, that probably reminds you of something, doesn't it? It's a cross. And then he says, but here's a real picture of an actual laminin molecule. And then, Fred, in the article, Keith Giles shows a photograph of an actual laminin molecule that does not look like a cross at all. But as you research laminin and you look at images of laminin, you can see that Keith Giles could have easily picked another picture that actually does look like a cross, because there are a lot of them that do. And there are a lot of them that don't, because the laminin molecule, it's not a stiff thing. It gets folded and crooked and wrinkled. Exactly. And there are pictures of laminin that just look like a blob. And there are pictures of laminin that look a lot like a cross.
Yeah.
So Keith picks one that doesn't look like a cross, obviously on purpose, when he could have done the opposite. Anyway, so then Giles goes on. He says, obviously, of course, Jesus does hold all things together. But does he only do that through laminin molecules? And I just have to stop Mr. Giles and say, well, whoever said that he only does it through the laminin molecule? That's not what Louis Giglio said in his sermon. That's not what anyone said. That no one said it's the only way. It's just they said this is an exemplary of how Jesus, the Lord, the Creator, God, our Father, holds everything together. This is just an example of it. So Giles goes on, there's no magic in the shape of a cross. It's just a shape. Well, nobody said it was magic, Mr. Giles. We did say it was a shape, and we said that it was an instructive shape. Keith Giles says, maybe we should stop sharing posts that make us look silly to actual scientists who know that we're off base talking about things we don't really understand. And so that's where I want to stop. Mr. Giles, first of all, who doesn't understand, Mr. Giles? I think you don't understand because I understand perfectly. And by the way, Mr. Giles, every thinking person who can reason in their own mind and seek the answers to questions is an actual scientist. Not only people who have a scholarly degree or letters after their name are scientists. In fact, some of the greatest scientists in human history didn't have a degree, Mr. Giles. And so don't start intimidating the average person who wants to know things by insisting that they should somehow cower or bow before actual scientists.
Yeah.
Because that you're just propagating a mythology that there's some super race of beings that are called scientists. Come on, just get out of here with that.
It's just like when Christians will reference Bible scholars. And I do think that there's things we can do when we're studying the word and we're trying to understand a passage, that you do your research, you can look at how different scholars interpret the Hebrew or the Greek. But sometimes Christians get to where, you have to rely on some scholar to interpret the Bible for you. No, God did not write the Bible for scholars. He wrote it for everybody.
That's right.
So you can't get too deep into a hole where this can't be true because this scholar, and he's really smart, he says that this can't be true. Yes, in the long run, Doug, we have to make up our own mind based on the evidence we see before us. And God, he wrote the Bible for everybody. He didn't write it just for the scientist or the scholar with the PhD by his name and, I've got my PhD, so I'm correct in my interpretation of this passage.
Absolutely not. But and I'll tell you what, Fred, if I have to design computer software, if I have that need, then I'm going to come to someone who has a scholarly degree, letters after their name, and all of that. So I'm not saying there's no value to that. There's enormous value to specialized study and degrees and all of that. But just what you said, when it comes to the big questions in life, don't assume that you have to narrow it down to someone with two or three letters after their name in order to help you figure those out. God wrote the Bible. It's a thick book, and it's right there for you to open up and take a look, and God will help you if you want to know. In fact, the Holy Spirit promises that if you're sincere and you actually want to know God, that he will reveal himself to you. And so we don't need to cower before scientists. And I don't want to discount Mr. Giles' assertion that we shouldn't say laminin's the only way, or we shouldn't say it's magic. I agree with all that. I just want to say Louis Giglio didn't say that, but none of us really have said that. What we do want to say and talk about, I think, Fred, is how amazing this substance that is relatively recently discovered, only since the 1970s has it been identified, but it seems like the closer we look at it and the more we look at it, the more amazing and sophisticated it reveals itself to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, laminin really does have a unique purpose. And I wanted to quickly say this Louis Giglio, he's a good Christian. He's a Charles Stanley disciple.
Oh.
And, you know, to his defense on his video, and I do think, and we'll talk about this maybe, Doug, about what we actually think at RSR as far as using this as an argument for Christianity. To his defense, he does show the actual image of laminin, and it's not perfectly shaped like a cross. The diagram they do is shaped like a cross, but laminin actually has a purpose. So Georgia Purdom at Answers in Genesis, I thought she refers to an early paper on laminin, and this paper said this: globular and rod-like domains are arranged in an extended four-armed cruciform shape. So this is from a scientific paper that is well suited for mediating between distant sites on cells and other components of the extracellular matrix. So she mentions Romans 1:20, which is like one of our favorite verses, especially if you're a creationist, about how God made it clear that he is who he is by the things he made. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. So you don't need a microscope to go and see laminin to know that, hey, you know, God is the creator of the world.
Yeah.
He's the builder of all things, as we read in Hebrews. We know common sense that there has to be a creator just by looking at his creation, and we don't need a microscope to go and see that, oh, laminin, hey, it looks like a cross. This is evidence for Jesus. They didn't have that before they discovered laminin.
That's right. Well, yeah. They had plenty of it. The heavens declare,
Absolutely. And it turns out laminin does have a specific function which God would have designed. He may have thought about the cross when he did laminin. Who knows, you know? But he designs these things with a purpose, and they achieve something. In this particular case, it's well-suited to mediate between distant sites on the cells.
Yeah,
it's really cool how it does. It really does hold things together, you know, the cells and whatnot in your guts, Doug, in your intestines. I mean, all kinds of places this protein really does serve the purpose of holding things together.
Yeah. It holds your skin on to your skin. It holds the epidermis onto the dermis, and it does all kinds of amazing, really phenomenal things. That not only does laminin hold things together, but if you go into the second paragraph of the laminin stem cell findings, it says laminin may, I inserted the word may because if you read the whole article, we don't know for sure, but laminin may help determine if cells turn into new muscle or fat,
Or
different tissues. So here is this structure that's holding different things together, and it helps to determine what the stem cells become, because it's almost as if the bridge between two substances knows what it's holding together. It's so amazing. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So, Doug, let's look at a couple of scientific studies on laminin. I like this one here. It's laminin stem cell findings.
Oh, yeah.
And that is super cool. And they're looking at a way that, you know, maybe it'll help them with muscular dystrophy. So what they found in this study was that laminin, which, again, is a protein present in the mesh-like structure surrounding cells, and it's called the extracellular matrix, it actually also is another function. It determines if stem cells turn into muscle or fat cells. And what that study tells me, Doug, is my laminin's all messed up.
Uh-oh.
It's turning too many things into fat cells. I mean, it might be a function of me not going to the gym as often as I should, which lately has been like never.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you can blame the laminins, but isn't it amazing that, so here we have what would appear to be a relatively simple structure designed to do a task to hold these things together. But it seems as if this molecule that's just holding these substances together kind of knows what the substances are and can help the body to regenerate the right kind of tissue. So it's just, it's amazing with biology. The closer we look, the more sophisticated everything reveals itself to be. And Fred, what's really interesting is that if you look closely enough, you just don't know what's going on. You just can't figure it out anymore. It's amazing.
It's like a microscope. The closer you look at a cell and then you get down to the protein, and we talked about how it's made up of amino acids, things get more complicated as you zoom in. Mm-hmm. If you zoom into one of our NAND chips at Micron, or you zoom into our solid state drive, as you get closer in, keep going, diving deeper in, you know, kind of like when they send a submarine into the deep oceans. You do that to any kind of technology, any kind of man-made chips we do at Micron. Things get simpler as you look deeper in to whatever you're scoping.
Right.
But it's different with God's design, his biology. It's amazing. Things get more complicated. It is so cool.
Yeah. And so I want to finish, Fred. I know we're almost out of time. Back in 2017, there was a 7-year-old boy, and he had this condition, this rare skin condition that they called him a butterfly boy. This rare skin condition made his skin fragile, and it would break off, and he had lost most of his skin. and he was near death. A lot of kids who have this disease, they actually die from it because your skin keeps everything in, keeps all the good stuff in, keeps all the bad stuff out. It keeps you alive. Well, his skin was all falling off. And so doctors took 4 square centimeters, this little patch of skin that was healthy from one part of his body, and they grew stem cells in a lab from that sample of skin. Then they used a retrovirus to insert a healthy copy of the right gene to affect the DNA in this lab-grown skin to correct this genetic defect. And the corrected skin cells grew into this sheet of skin. The surgeons grafted the skin onto the boy's body. And anyway, by 2016, this all started in 2015. Within about a year, he was released from the hospital. And I just read an article. I'll link to it in the summary. 5 years later, 2020, the last update, this boy, he's now 13. His name is Patrick. And doctors are actually calling it a cure. This disease of his skin was cured through stem cell gene technology, mitigated through the laminins that were broken down in the skin. And doctors are calling it a cure, which is fairly rare in medicine that you're allowed to call something an actual cure. But this was cured. And researchers are now continuing the work of trying to correct genetic errors via insertion of new information using these retroviruses. And then it's mitigated through various tissue types, including the laminins, in order to create cures for these diseases like the butterfly boy disease that are the result of genetic defects. And it's all, of course, Fred, because at some point in the distant past, nothing exploded and created everything by accident. That's how all of this happened.
Yeah. So, and you know, Doug, what's key to this thing too, is these are stem cells, and I'll read from this Science article on this. They took a 4 square centimeter patch of unblistered skin from the boy's groin and grew skin stem cells. So the point is, these aren't embryonic stem cells.
Oh, right.
These are the stem cells from the boy himself. And I worked for a company, Cridian BCT, and we developed a stem cell chamber that actually grew stem cells, and they were adult stem cells.
Wow.
Adult stem cells do wonders. There's all kinds of treatments that they're using with adult stem cells. And the media, they don't like to talk about the success of adult stem cells. They'll just talk about stem cells, and they'll push the agenda of embryonic stem cells.
I
worked at Cridian, I asked several of the scientists who were actual, they were, you know, we had a couple of PhD biologists who were part of the team. I didn't tell them what my beliefs were, but I asked them about things like embryonic stem cells, and they're like, they don't work. They're dangerous. They can cause cancer. These are people who are working in the industry. And in this particular science, they're not showing a bias because the data speaks for itself. The truth speaks for itself. And embryonic stem cells, they don't work. They're very dangerous. But here's a case where you use adult stem cells, your own stem cells, to come up with this cure. It's really amazing. It's great technology.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just another example of how the media pushes a different narrative on something that actually works, something that's worthwhile.
So it turns out that stem cells that are more differentiated, a little bit differentiated, are easier to work with because, Fred, we don't particularly understand everything that's going on with stem cells. And embryonic stem cells are, in my humble opinion, orders of magnitude too sophisticated for our relatively crude understanding of genetics and stem cell science. But when it comes to a condition like this genetic skin condition in the butterfly boy, which, by the way, is called epidermolysis bullosa, and it involves the genes that are supposed to produce parts of the laminin 332 protein that helps the top layer, the epidermis, hold on to the dermis. That's where the problem is in this condition, epidermolysis bullosa. It turns out that the more differentiated stem cells of an adult are a better match for our understanding in trying to manage disease than trying to manage a pluripotent embryonic stem cell itself being far too sophisticated for us to understand. That's one issue, Fred. But then there's the issue that that's the body of another human being, and you're not allowed to take the body of another human being and do experiments. You're not even allowed to touch the body of another human being without their permission.
Yep.
And so there's an ethical issue that's much larger than the scientific issue. But you're right, Fred. The media tends to ignore even the simple fact that the science dictates that we should work with adult stem cells. And here's just another fine example of that. And one of the reasons I love Real Science Radio, Fred, and I'm honored that you would allow me to be on the airwaves with you, is because Real Science Radio is one of the anchors that I hope, and I've seen it, is going to tether scientists and researchers not just to the best science, but also to the real ethics and the morality of life and living with a proper fear of God and respect for the Creator and the creation. And I thank you for all that you do in that regard, Fred.
Well, thank you, Doug. And, you know, it is what led us to call the show Real Science Friday originally, and now it's Real Science Radio.
Uh-oh, are you allowed to say that? He actually said it.
Yeah. But yeah, we're now Real Science Radio. But the key to the whole thing was real science, not the fake news science that you get a lot of times over at NPR and other outlets, the, you know, major media. So Laminin, it's super cool. In summary, from Real Science Radio's point of view, yes, it is shaped like a cross, and it really is cool, and I don't have a problem with Giglio's message other than, you know, we don't want it to be as like a sign. You know, Christ criticized when people are looking for a sign. I mean, we have tons of evidence for the creation. We know that already. Let's not overreact to something like this, but we can marvel at how it really is. It is shaped like a cross. A lot of things are shaped like a cross, but bottom line is it's a wonderful design. It has a purpose and design to actually, it does hold things together, and it's just another thing for us, Doug, to marvel at and honor God with, that his wonderful ability as an engineer. He's the ultimate engineer. I love it.
That's right. That's right. And this molecule glorifies God, just like every other created thing that shouts from the rooftops that there is a creator, there is a God. That this is just another fine example brought to you by the creator of the universe and other fine products.
That's right. So, Doug, we are out of time. We talked about last week that we're going to do a rerun.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, of the very first RSR show, we planned that for next week. So if you want to hear Bob and I for the very first time together, I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to do that next
time.
Week.
That'll be a good time.
Yep. So, Doug, again, thanks for all that you do. You're such a blessing to this radio program. You have been throughout the years. It's always great to have you on. So for Doug McBurney, this is Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.